Okay.
We're back to Korban Asham. If you missed the last year, that's fine. I'll tell you why. This one, the last year, I think, was, if you followed it carefully, I think it was a pretty good year. After my say so. This one is,
Not as good.
I thought in between the last one, since we had a lot of time to think, that I'll give you the bottom line of what we did the last year. What we did the last year, we concluded that a Korban Asham is somewhere in between a Chatas and an Ola. Chatas being the sin offering, the Ola being the, you know, the fire offering, and somewhere in between the two. We know there's atoning for sins, and Ola, where does an Asham find itself? This guilt offering. So we said the guilt offering is a little bit of each. It's a little bit of Ola, it's a little bit of Chatas, but it's not exactly an Ola, not exactly a Chatas. So we try to set it up like a brisker thing, that it's both. It's an Ola and a Chatas. It has both components. I said, you know, instead of that, maybe an... I felt uncomfortable with that at the end of the day, because then what was the purpose of the Asham? Just give either Chatas or give either Ola. Why'd you need to get both purposei in the Asham itself? Why'd you have to do that? Just give an Asham. There shouldn't be a category of an Asham. If an Asham is sometimes like a Chatas, sometimes like an Ola, in the specific case when it needs to be a Chatas, make the animal be a Chatas. In the specific case when it needs to be an Ola, make the animal an Ola. So I thought there must be a unique, independent manifestation of what a Korban Asham is all about. And the one that I did a few weeks ago, it just fit nicely with all the Mayer Makomos, but it doesn't mean that that's necessarily the case. So I'm trying a totally different route at what a Korban Asham is all about. And the good thing about this is we're going to look at a whole different set of Mayer Makomos than we did last time. So between the two Shirim, you should really have covered everything on Korban Asham. We mamish covered everything on Korban Asham between these two Shirim. So let's begin. Okay. So what's the link between the Averis by which we bring the Korban Asham? What's the link between all those different Averis? So there are six things, basically, whereby you bring a Korban Asham. So you could follow, there are six things where you would bring a Korban Asham. Here's the list. Number one is Me'ila. If you misuse consecrated items, you get benefit from consecrated items. Things that were set aside to the base of Migdash, you get use from them, benefit. That's one. That's when you bring a Korban Asham. Number two, Shvua Sapikadon. You lie in an oath that you were holding on to someone's thing as collateral. No, he never gave me his watch to hold. That's a Korban Asham. Okay, number three, if there's a doubt, if you're obligated in a sin that normally would have had you bring a Korban Chatas, if it's a doubt, that's called an Asham Tului. It's a suffix. We're not sure. So bring an Asham. Bring a guilt offering. Having relations with a Shivcha Charufa. You know what a Shivcha Charufa is? It's one of the things you pass in the Chumash. You don't bother looking it up. It's like just there. Shivcha Charufa. Shivcha Charufa was a Canaanite slave, a female Canaanite slave, who was set already to be with someone as her husband or to be someone as her mate, and then you ended up sleeping with her. Okay? That's Bias Shivcha Charufa. That also is Korban Asham. The one who's Hametzora Shebolitahir, the one with leprosy, leprosy is not the right translation, but coming to be pure, that's also a Asham. A Nazir Shenitma, a Nazir who became Tameh and now wants to come be Tahor, that's also a Korban Asham. So the question is, how does it differ then from a regular Korban Chatas? These seem to be areas of negativity, of sin, which is really what the sin offering is for. So again, what defines these as a Korban Asham? The other issue is, once we, let's say, figure out what's the difference between these sins and the other sins, once we figure that out, the question is, why does it sometimes come as a machshir, meaning a preparatory stage, for the Mitzorah to get out of his tzaras, for the Nazir who becomes Tameh to get out of his stage, the Asham Nazir? Why does it also, beyond being a sin, a product of sin, why is it also a preparatory stage to something else? We've got to deal with that as well. And I noticed also that the other korbanos have unique categories to them, and Asham has nothing unique. You know that? A chatas, we mentioned 5 weeks ago maybe. A chatas is unique that you sprinkle the blood on the four corners. It's got a four blood sprinkling, very integral to the chatas process. Number two, unique about korban ola, is that it's totally burned to Hashem. That's number two. Number three, shlamim, some of it is given and eaten by the owner. That's unique about a shlamim, a peace offering. And number four, what's unique about a korban asham? You know what's unique about a korban asham? Nothing.
There's nothing unique about it.
That's the unique. The unique is that there's nothing unique about the korban asham. So it really has an identity crisis. That's why I'm having a difficult time pinning it down. A few weeks ago, we tried one route. I don't think it's wrong.
It's
a few weeks
Shmini
ago. Well, right. What is the identity? Is it part? Is it separate? So that's part of the problem over here, figuring it out. Okay. Famous instances of a korban asham. This should be in your packet. I found, by the way, if any of you are making Mar Makomos packets or looking up Torah online, you type in Google Machon Mamre, M-A-C-H-O-N, space Mamre, M-A-M-R-E, and next to it, the thing you need. They have all the basics, so type in Tanakh. And right away, they have a beautifully organized Tanakh. You could just cut and paste from, or you could read online, whatever you're doing with online Sfarim. You could look it online. It's very easy. It's different than HebrewBooks.org, which I love, because you don't have to start opening PDFs. You don't start going into documents. It's just it's a regular HTML. You know, you can just open the file and just look at it as is. So it's very easy. Probably very easy if you want to play with it on your phone. That's what makes it easier. They have Tanakh. They have Mishneh Torah. They have all Mishnayos separate. They have all Shas separate. They have Yerushalmi separate. None of it's in the regular page of how a page looks. None of it's sorted off. But you just have it easy to get and cut and paste in the words, whatever you need.
They're like Kapach Chasidim.
Oh, really? I don't know anything about them.
I believe so, yeah.
I find it very hard.
Like Rav Kapach.
Yeah,
like,
sure, for the Rambam.
I find it very hard on HebrewBooks.org to find Rishon, like just basic Rishonim. Like,
no.
I was looking at a Ramban on like...
That's not their agenda.
On like, on Kedushim, and it was like impossible to find.
Because that's not their agenda. If there's an old Ramban edition of the Ramban that they found that's going out of print, like a Lemberg edition, that's their agenda. To give you the Ramban Rishonim, they leave it to Bar Ilan, or they leave it to Otzer Al-Chachma, whatever, Otzer Svarim, whatever it is. But I'm finding now a lot of the basics are actually online. If you type in Google, Vayikra Rabba, entire online, you'll find a lot of other websites now put these things up. So you really basically can cover, if you know how to Google around, you basically can get almost any Mar Makom you need online without having the software, Bar Ilan and all that stuff. Okay, so here are famous instances of Korban Asham in the Torah. If you look at page 2, it says the number 2 on top, not page 2. But
someone should put together a website with all those links.
All the links.
It would be great for
That's
the
helpful.
Torah public.
Okay, good. Maybe I'll do that. Now, we look at Shmuel, Sefer, you know, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Vav, Sukkim Dalet, and Hey. The context over here is the Plishtim stole the Aaron. The Plishtim stole the Aaron, and they realized they messed up big time. It was a big mistake. All these plagues start happening to them. It's not good to take the Aaron. You know, Lahavdil, end of Indiana Jones. You see what happens when you take the Aaron. And they had to return the Aaron, and what did they decide to return with it? Vayomru pasuk dalit ma asham asher nashiv lo vayomer mispar sarne plishtim chamisha techorei zav chamisha achperei zav ki magefa achas akulam asarnechem. What they end up returning over here, if you look at the psukim, is they end up bringing a special asham offering. They give an asham because of their guilt. Maha asham asher nashiv lo. What type of asham should we bring? They literally bring an asham. They don't want to come empty-handed. The plishtim took the aron from the Jews. When they realized how bad a mistake they made it up by bringing a korban asham. Ezra, also, if you look in Ezra, remember Ezra was the one who brought back... What?
Where did they bring a korban asham?
To the Mishkan, the Bama there, right? The Bama there. What?
Were they in Shiloh?
They brought it in Bama, in Mishkan, Shiloh?
Sure.
Mistama? Okay, I don't know. Probably simple as looking in the Tanakh. Check. Mishkan, Shiloh, maybe. The Sukkim in Ezra... Ezra was the one who brought back from Babel, from Babylonia. He brought back the people from Babel. He brought back the ones who were, you know, who wanted to come back with him to Israel. And the ones who left with him were not the upper class. He had all the riffraff with him, who were probably, you know, didn't have a place to go anyways. So he brought back really the people who had mixed married, the leftovers. He really brought back a whole shvacha group. So the Pesukim in Ezra says that when he finally got them to realize how they messed up by marrying non-Jews... So they divorced the wives, and or their husbands, whoever the non-Jew was, And what happened was, the Psukim say that instead, as part of to rectify what they did, they bring a Korban Asham. Okay, and this is an entire Perek, Perek Tes talks about, Perek Tes and Perek Yud. Yud as the conclusion, they brought a Korban Asham. So famous, two famous Korban Ashams in Tanakh is by the Plishtim when they messed up, and the other one is by the, what's it called, is by the, over here in Ezra. When the people realized what they did wrong, they also brought a Korban Hashem. So at the end of the day, what's unique about the Korban Hashem? Every Korban has something unique. We point out at the beginning of this year, the Korban Hashem has absolutely nothing unique about it. It's just famous. But it's got nothing unique about it. It's not like a Chatas, which has the four sprinklings. It's not like a Ola, which is totally burnt. And it's not like a Shlamim, which is given to eat by its owners. So it's really lacking in its unique identity.
Why did they bring a Korban Hashem at the time of Ezra?
What?
Why Dafka and Asham?
That's what we're going to figure out. That's what we're going to figure out. Why? Were they Shifcha Charufas? Let's figure out. Good. That's what I want to figure out. What? Nechal HaKohanim. So now, let's figure out what in the world, what in the world is going on with this Asham? That's why what I'm doing here, Yanki, is just trying to give an alternative way of looking at Asham from 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago we did a brisker. It's part Ola, part Chatas. Little here, little that. Now we're going to give it its own identity. There are three categories I'm seeing here of Asham at the end of the day. From everything we said, there are three categories. Category number one is Shifcha Charufa, Shvua Sapikadon, someone who lies that they held collateral, and Me'ila. That's one category, it seems to me. A second category was this Nazir who became Tameh and wants to become Untameh now, and a Mitzora who wants to get out of the Tzaras. That seemed like a nice little package. And then the third category was the Asham Taloi category, was the suspended category of one who wasn't sure if they need to bring a chatas or not, so they went to Taloi. That's how I would break it up into three categories, like that. I'll break it up into three sections. So now look at section one. Think about section one. Section one is Shivcha Charufa, Shvuas HaPikadon, and Me'ila, right? In all three of those things, it seems to me the common denominator is, in all three of those things, the Avaryan, the sinner, is Mechalel something physically. He's physically mechalel something. He's desecrating something. Chilul means you're taking something from its kedusha and you're lowering its kedusha. You're being mechalel something. You're defiling something consecrated. What are you defiling in the shvuas apikadon by the oath? By the shvuas apikadon, you're taking an oath in vain. You're swearing to God. You're swearing to God and you're completely lying. So you're being mechalel at Shem Hashem. You're causing a chil in the name of Hashem. Me'ila, that's an easy one. You're taking consecrated property and you've devalued it. Okay, the hard one's going to be Shifcha Charufa. We'll deal with that. Shavuos HaPikadon, it seems to me these three are about taking something sanctified and you've been mechalel. You've divested it of its, you've ruined, you've impogem its kedusha. That's a little different than a chatas. Chatas are clearly sins, but the main emphasis in those sins are not about defiling the sanctity, mechalel the kedusha. And I think if we take that, we may have an approach. Shifcha Charufa, I thought like this. Shifcha Charufa, by sleeping with her, you're being mechalel the specific kedushin that she had between her and her husband. Shifcha Charufa, what kind of kedushin does she have? So the Gemara says there was minimal levels of kedushin in the fact that she was supposed to be to one person. She was supposed to be to somebody. She wasn't supposed to be to multiple people. Shivcha Charufa is designated to one individual. That means Kedushin. The Sogachover says, what does Kedushin mean? Kedushin means, all Kedushin means, how different than a Suin? All Kedushin means is that you're separate from others. And now, by you sleeping with the Shivcha Charufa, you are mechal of that Kedushin. Because now, if it's willingly, she's usher to Baal and usher to Boel. She's usher to both. You took something away.
Isn't there an Indian name, Isha's? Or something along those lines.
Ein Ishus L'Goyim. Rambam says straight out, Ein Ishus L'Goyim. So it's not Ishus. It's not Ishus.
If she were Stam a Goya,
yeah,
she wouldn't have Ishus. But because she's a Shivcha,
she has some level of Kedusha.
Because she's attached to Klal Yisrael, she attains this level of
Kedusha. So she's not Ishus, but she has some level of Kedusha.
You're
Mechalo that minimal level. You're Mechalo that minimal level. That's exactly what you're doing. Category 2 was easy for me as well. Mitzora, what'd you do? A Mitzora, a Mitzora is a great chil of Kedusha. It's a great chil of sanctity. That's why you're totally moved all separated from everybody else. You're totally cast aside. And the Nazir Shenitma, I'm going to show you. Look at my Makomos to back all this stuff up I'm saying. But a Nazir becomes Tameh. A Nazir is seen as a Kaddish status.
Yeah,
that's simple. The Nazir has a special sanctified status. And now when he's become Tameh, He's been mechalal the kedusha. So I think this is a basic way of explaining how a korban asham is unique from the other. You don't have to mess with it. Part chatas, part ola. You can give it its own identity by labeling it as such. And you'll see that there are identifying features of the asham which do make it unique and would fit perfectly with this way of looking at the korban asham. Let's start from the beginning. Take me'ilah, right? Me'ilah is when you get benefit from consecrated property. You misuse consecrated property. There's a major chakira me'ilah. We're going to learn me'ilah. It's part of kachim, so we're going to learn me'ilah. But there's a major chakira by me'ilah. The chakira by me'ilah is as follows. You're learning me'ilah. This is, you need to know how to banter about this chakira. The famous chakira is me'ilah a problem because of gezel hektish, of stealing from the base of Migdash? Or is it hana mi'isura? It's about getting benefit from something prohibited. You understand? Is the problem of me'ilah because you stole from consecrated stuff, or is it because you got benefit from something prohibited to you? You know what I mean? Like if you get benefit from avodah zarah, it's not like something that belonged to somebody else, not stealing, but you got benefit from something that you are not allowed to get benefit from. As opposed to, it's like sort of cheftza gavra. You know what I mean? Stealing is an isser in the object, while getting benefit from something prohibited is an issue with you. You cannot imbibe anything prohibited.
That would be more of a chatas type.
What's the nafkamina by kachim?
The nafkamina by me'ilah is going to be amounts, restitution, is there going to make it better? We're going to see a couple, but that's...
If you're knocking down the kedusha, that's asham. If you're just taking something for yourself, which isn't for yourself, that's chatas.
Excellent. If you want to say, if you understand korban asham as just taking something for yourself, stealing, then it would fit more in the category of the chatas package. Beautiful. If you're saying something is more about the hana from isura, you've been pogan by getting hana, that's more about chil kedusha, and that fits nicely with our little asham package that we're creating here. Look at some examples. On one hand, just to show you whether which side of the chakira it is it gzela or is it hana mehektish? On one hand, the shi'ur for me'ilah, by the way, how much of the shi'ur do you need for me'ilah? Is a sheva pruta. It's got to be sheva pruta. It's got to be worth at least a pruta. Reb Chaim on me'ilah, Hilchos Rambam me'ilah, Rambam Hilchos me'ilah, Reb Chaim, the Brisker Rav, says that you see, that shows you that that's a reason that it's outs gzela. Why would there be a measurement for the hana that's a sheva pruta? Sheva pruta is a stealing number. He says, you see, that's an element of gzela. Another source for this.
Maybe you wouldn't have enough something that was.
Maybe it's a minimum share of hana, but the Brisker Rav is saying that we have other measurements. When the value of shava pruta is uniquely a stealing category, hana, there might be other measurements. You're right, boy. They have by smelling, by the nisuch hayayin, how much smelling do you need to get taken? But it's shava pruta is a very much a gezel type amount, very much a gzela type amount. Gemara in Krisus Yud Ches Amud Beis. After that, everything will be in the packet. Gemara in Krisus Yud Ches Amud Beis says the reason why Yom Kippur isn't mechaper on me'ilah, if you do me'ilah on a chatzi pruta, so the Gemara in Krisus says Yom Kippur isn't mechaper because Yom Kippur is only mechaper on isura and not mamon. On isura and not mamon, things which are prohibited. You ate a piece of treif, Yom Kippur will take care of it. But isura, taking mamon, stealing from somebody, that Yom Kippur can't make good until you make it good. That fits with the Gezel side. That's straight out like the Gezel side. Tosfos in Ksuvos Lamed Amud Beis. That's a whopper one over here. Zar Sha'achol Truma. That's the one on page 3. The big giant one on the right side. So Tosfos over there says that Karen and Chomesh, you know, paying... When you do Me'ilah, you have to pay, when you misuse consecrated item, you have to bring a korban asham, which is the karen, the principal, and you have to pay an additional chomesh. You have to pay an additional fifth. Okay, karen v'chomesh.
Asham and karen
v'chomesh. Okay, so now what was I saying? Okay, good. So now, based on that, the Tosfos over here says that the karen and chomesh, hold on, where is it here? The karen and chomesh by me'ilah. Hold on. And this Tosfos is also from Rashi. Okay, I'm going to be there tomorrow. Are you sure? Okay, based on the car is the high one. Amazing. The first one is the part of the Kim Lev Dramine Krebin Akuni Bash for showing Namu the Mishim Karis. Yeah, Eina Mishum Kapara. Hold on, he says it's. Mishum Mammon. Very good. Third wide line, thank you. Karen Vachomet Shel Hekdesh. Eina Mishum Kapara, Ella Mishale Mammon Shegezel Hekdesh. It's straight out. I mean, that makes it almost like the discussion's over if we didn't have the other Marmakomos. But Tosus is saying in the third wide line, almost straight out, that it's Midin Gzela. On the other hand, if you look back on page 2, here are the Marmakomos they quote. These are just some of the famous Marmakomos. The Marmakom...
Gzela's not capable, only Gneva's capable.
What?
Gneva's
capable. Yeah. The Mishnah in Me'ila, this is Perek Hei, Mishnah Aleph. And then the bottom is Mishnah Gimel. Look at Mishnah Gimel. Ein moel acher moel b'mukdashin ela b'behema v'kli sharis. The topic over here is a situation of me'ila acher me'ila. What situations is it possible for you to misuse something from the Beis HaMikdash and then someone else comes in and then misuses on top of that? Let's say you misuse it. You took the property, you misuse it. Now someone comes and uses it from you. So now the Mishnah entertains a few possibilities where there is me'ila acher me'ila. So the Achronim say that shows you that it's not about gzela, because there's no gzela acher gzela. If someone stole something and then you took it from them, you don't owe them any. It's not a new chi of gzela. It's not a new chi of. There's only one chi of gzela at this point. So you see from here, said the Achronim, that if there's a possibility of me'ila acher me'ila, it has to be about hana, not about gzela. The entertaining topic has to be about benefit, not gzela. Another proof that they look at is the Rambam. Rambam Hilchas Me'ila Perek Vav Halacha Ches. Over here, the Rambam says that Shasa Bakoshal Zav, if you drank a cup of gold, Venene Bapruta, Ubocha Vera Vashasa, Venene, Ubocha, everyone's coming to take a drink. Venene Kula Malu, all of them are over Me'ila. See, Mila Amachar Me'ila. Natal Akosan Chova Matana, Omachu Huma. What the point everybody takes away from this Rambam is that if everyone comes and drinks from this, look at the keyword the Rambam threw in the middle there. Venene, and they got benefit. It's not considered me'ila without hana. By the way, you could violate stealing without benefit. You have to benefit a single thing. If I steal someone's car and never benefit, it's only caused me trouble. I never enjoyed it. I'm chayv on gzela. There's no excuse that I didn't get hana. But by hektish, by getting a me'ila, the Rambam is saying there's an element of hana. That's not gzela. That's hana isura. That's hana sisura. And therefore, you see that's a clear proof in the Rambam. On the other side, that shows you that it's about Hana. At the end of the day, there's so many proofs both ways, so you can go one route and say Andrew's way that if you say it's like Gzela, then it's going to be more Chatas oriented. If you say it's Hana, it's going to be more Ashem oriented, which is very nice and neat, but the problem is we have both elements in it. So we got to somehow merge the two. So there's a way of merging it and explain why it's part of a Korban Ashem. Thought like this. What you're doing is a pagam in Kedushas Hekdesh. What you're doing is a pagam in the sanctity of Hekdesh. Whether that pagam came via Hana, whether that pagam came via the stealing from Hekdesh, you've infringed on Hekdesh, and that itself is the chilul. That's the great chilul. You've taken consecrated items, and you've taken it for yourself. If you look at that as a gzela, it's also a form of chilul. It might sound more chilul oriented if it's about hana, about benefit, but either way, a chilul's been done over here. Meaning me'ila is looking at as a wide scope thing, which includes gzela, includes hana. It's being mechalel the sanctity of hektish because you've been selfish, you've taken it for yourself, or you've gotten hana. I think either way you cut it, you could still explain why it's in the korban ashram category and not the korban chatas category. And that's why you have the Gemara Mi'ila Yud Chesem Abeis, which I didn't have here, where Mi'ila Yud Chesem Abeis says, Ein Ma'ol Ela Shinoi. What Mi'ila is an alteration. What you've done is alter the state that was before. So you see that when you have something called Shinoi Gzela, you take something and you change its form, even though you're stealing and what you're doing is you've altered the state that the Hekdesh has been in before. That is a Chil. That is a Chil. I wanted to show you...
How can you ever have... If you changed its kedusha, then
it could be that everybody's chipping away a little bit more of the kedusha. everybody's being machal a little bit more of the kedusha. That could be the pshat in mila achar mila. You've all been, let's say it's at an 8, let's say it's at 100% kedusha. One guy's downgrading it to 25%, one guy's downgrading it to 7% mila. How does it mean mila achar mila? Is everybody redoing it? Is it restarting and regenerating and everybody's redoing it? Or is everybody chipping away at some level of the sanctity? But either way, whatever definition you're going to take, there's going to be a chil, there's going to be a desecration of something holy that was there beforehand. Now, I wanted to show you, look at Bamidbar, Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud Beis, it's page 4. So, I'm putting here, because I want Rashi over here. Bamidbar, Perek Hei. Halacha Yud Beis. This is the Parshias of Sota, right? Of Sota. So it says here, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Daberu Bnei Yisrael, Vamartalem, Ish Ish Ki Tiste Ishto, Umala Bo Maal." Tiste Ishto, his wife. What, how do they translate it here in Art Scroll? The way they use for Tiste, she went astray. She left. She left the path. She left the path, and the basic way of explaining that is that there was a, now because of it, there was a total status change. The whole game changed once she did what she did. So you see what's used in that pasuk? Ma'al. What is me'ila? Me'ila is an entire status change. That's what me'ila means. What does me'ila mean? It's not just you've misused. People translate me'ila as misuse of hektish. It's much more powerful. It's a status change of hektish. You've been pogim it. That's why the Chumash borrows the term me'ila by the woman who is a sota. Ki tiste ishto umale bomal. She didn't just misuse her body. She was tiste. She totally changed her status before of what she was before. She can no longer stay with her husband or the man she was with until everything gets cleared up. She can't stay over here. You have in Divrei Hayamim, Perek Aleph Pasuk Hei, Divrei Aleph Perek Hei Pasuk Kaf Hei, Vayimalu be'elokei avaseihem, vayiznu achrei elohei amearetz, asher hishmid Elohim, Elohim mipneihem.
I don't know if it's borrowing me'ila.
That's the word.
You know, it's giving us a better understanding of the word. Just like you don't borrow the word kodesh in kadesha.
Right, in zona. 100% you're right. Meaning, my point is that it's not misuse. It's a thing you could do. A physical thing you could do that could ruin the status of something. That's what me'ila is. That could alter your entire status. You have that over here. In Divrei Hayamim, when the Jews were worshipping all this idolatry, God viewed it as vayiznu achrei Elohei amearetz. That they totally left the position that we were in before. The Jews totally left the position. Vayiznu. They entirely strayed from the path they were before. And there uses, I think there was Lashon HaMi'il there, right? I want to quote it. I think I put it in because there was Lashon HaMi'il. Vayimalu, yeah, right there. Vayimalu. It's me'ila, again. It's me'ila not because they misused their religion. It's more than that. It's me'ila because the Kedusha is supposed to be here, and they left that. There's been total chilul. They've left, they've desecrated that sanctity, that relationship that God had with the people, and they violate it by moving, by shifting everything over. So I think that's why Mi'ila fits very nicely in a Korban Asham. In a Korban Asham. And I think the clincher on this, I found this one last second, but if you want to look it up, it's Tosfos in Mi'ila Yud Ches Amid Beis. He says it perfectly. The Tosfos says the shinui of me'ila, bebeis ofanim, is in two ways. One, nene min hektish, getting benefit from hektish, and hotzi mirshus hektish. You can violate me'ila in two ways. Nenem, he's possibly different than the Rambam. He's saying you can either get benefit from hektish or take it out of the domain of hektish. Meaning, it's not stealing alone or benefit alone. It's something bigger. It's a pegias in the Kedushas Hektish. It's an inference in the Kedushas Hektish. What? Tosfos?
Tosfos. My idea is not consistent with Tosfos. Is that right?
Yeah, it's not either or. I'm saying it's much bigger. It's a chil of Hektish either way. Whether you say Gzela or whether you go down the road of the Hana path, I think either way it's a desecration of holiness. That's the point here. This stealing is much bigger. This stealing is a status changer. It's much worse. The Sifrei, I put it right here. Sifrei says, Ein mi'ila b'chol makum ela shikur. What's shikur? Like perversion. I think it's like perversion. Mi'ila is not misuse. It's shikur. That's what the Medrash says. It's shikur. It's you've totally removed something from its status that it was before. A shikur, someone who's drunk, is not the same word, but not the same word, not the same spelling at all. But a shikur is someone who's was point A and now they're point B. This is from a lashon of sheker. False becomes someone they're not, because someone they're not. That's what it is, right? Someone they're not. Okay. Let's see. Now, forget Mi'ila. Leave Mi'ila behind. I think we proved the case with Mi'ila. Next, you had Shvuas HaPikadon B'Sheker, right? You lied and denied a collateral. So if you look at Vayikra Yudtes Pasuk Yudbeis, V'lo Sishavu Vishmi LaShaker.
Are there any examples of Mi'ila to the positive in terms of the status level of something?
What? What do you mean?
We're saying you changed the status of something. All the examples we've cited so far have been changing the status to the worse.
Well, desecration, right? Isn't that the same definition as desecrating?
How do you do Mi'ila to the positive?
I'm
you want to say a higher level than Kedusha?
I'm just wondering, could
how do you misuse Hektish and make a better reason for it?
It doesn't have to be in that context. Just like Kodesh, we always think of as something sanctified, but Kodesh can also, or that Shorish can also be something set
inversely.
Like if we really believe that this is the understanding of Me'ila, it should just be a status change.
And could be used for positive as well.
The Kedusha status of something.
Isn't it status change? Isn't desecration? Isn't it status change from the negative?
I think Mi'ila is distinct from Kadar. Kedusha is moved all separate, so you could use it any which way. Mi'ila, I think we're saying, let's make it more specific, it's a negative status changer.
There are lots of status changes we're not bringing Ashram for, and like I was thinking about it, like Chalitza, for example, I don't think you bring carbon at all.
No, but
that's a shooting status
change. Not just a status change. It's a status change which has been pogam the sanctity of something. Chalitza hasn't pogam sanctity. You just removed the Zika that was there.
Right.
You just removed the Zika, there was this obligation, you've just attached it, and now she's free to live for a regular life. You haven't been pogam. You haven't hurt the mitzvah of chalitza.
Right.
It hasn't looked like as a negative that you did the mitzvah. On the contrary, you've done something positive.
A nazir who leaves his Nazirite oath, you know, with the paraduma, whatever.
He's metame.
The nazir when he brings the ashram is not when at the way out. The nazir when he brings it is when he's metame himself when he was in a state of naziras.
That's
when he brings the ashram.
Right, but on his way, that's on his way in.
Back in.
On his way back in. But on his way out of Naziris.
It's not an Asham.
Which he can't do today. It's not an
Asham.
So that's someone changing his Kedusha level.
No, he's completed. A Nazir who terminates his Naziris isn't Mechal his Kedusha at that point. He's completed it. The Gemara clearly says it's a complete set of Kedusha. He's not at the end now, since the next day he's free from bringing his Korbanos. He's not been Pogim his Kedusha at that point. He's finished what he's graduated from what he needed to do, and now he's free to live his life as whatever. It's like saying someone is a pigeon of bench should bring a korban ashram as well, because they were set aside to the kohen and now they're taken away, because that is not seen. Rav Kamenetsky says this in his commentary in the Torah. That's not seen as a pagam in the kedusha. It's removing the status. That's fine. Ashram is not just about removing the status. Ashram is about removing this more kadosh status. Not just by removing it gently, by being pogim it, but you've been removed it in a negative way. What you see is the Torah has positive and healthy ways to undo the Kedusha status. You know, when you're poda, when you're exchanging the Maaser Sheni to take it to Yerushalayim, so when you exchange it for the certain value amount, you're not pogim it, you did the legal way the Torah has allowed you to exchange Hektish. That's fine. This is a status change which is pogim Hektish, which hurts. Which hurts the sanctity of what was there. That's better. I'm happy we brought that up, because we could have walked away from here, a lot of holes in it. Okay. So if you look at this pasuk by Shvuas Pikadon, you see here that you look at this chilul that's being done here. You have v'lo sishavu v'shmi l'shaker v'chilalta tshem elokech ani Hashem. There it is. The Shvuas HaSheker by Pikadon is viewed as a Chilul Hashem. You've desecrated the name of Hashem, and therefore Korban Hashem. That would explain why it gets Korban Hashem. Bias Shivcha Charufa. Next category, Bias Shivcha Charufa. Time we have left. Okay, wow, that went quick. Bias Shivcha Charufa. If you look at Vayikra Perek Yotes Pasuk Chaf, right next to it, same source. V'ish ki yishka ves isha shichvazer, v'ishivcha necharefes le'ish. V'hafte lo niftasa, o chufsha lo nitan lo, bikores tihye lo yumsu ki lo chuposha. Because she was not free at the time when he was with her. He was not free at the time he was with her. There's a machlokas tanaim as to whether we're speaking of someone who was a shivcha, total shivcha, or a chetzi shivcha. She was a half a shivcha or a total shivcha. Either way, there's a major chakira here. If there's one chakira you need to know about shivcha charufa, this is the, you got the main mi'ila chakira today. We're also going to get the main shivcha charufa chakira. Is the knowledge, is knowing the extent of her shivchus, you were starting to touch on it before, is knowing the extent of her shivchus, how would you translate that? Her servitude? Is knowing the extent of her servitude relevant because it distances her further from the iser of Eishes Ish, from sleeping with a married woman? Or is it actually the cause of her being held accountable? Him being held accountable. Meaning, a guy who sleeps with a shivcha charufa, he is chayiv. Gotta bring korban asham. You did something wrong, okay? So there's a discussion of whether she's a full shivcha or chetzi shivcha, how far her status is. So why is that discussion relevant?
Chetzi
ben chorin. Chetzi ben chorin. Is that important for us to know? Because the more shivcha she is, the more it's getting him in trouble? Or is it the opposite? It's the more shivcha she is, the less of a regular Eishasish Jewish married woman she is. The knowledge of how much a shivcha she is, that whole debate of is she full or half, its relevance to our lives and its importance to us, is that because the more shivcha she is, the less regular married woman she is, and therefore the infraction is worse? Or is it going the opposite way? Or is it telling us the less of just a stam non-Jew she is, she now has the status of Kedushas Yisrael? Which way is that question going? It's a fascinating way to look at a chakira, is because it tells you when you have a more general question, why is that more general question important to know? Is it because it's coming to give you a kula or a chumra? You need to know which way it's being flipped.
Freed shivcha charufa, like a freed shivcha kananis, is Jewish.
A totally free shivcha may pull her more out of the category of being a shivcha charufa. If she's totally free, then she starts off being not married to anybody. You understand? She's single.
So there's no iser.
So the nafkamina is, though, if you want to say that she's more Eishes Ish, that's why I understand he has a chiyuv. You're dipping into the married women section. But if you're going this way, you see it as being a lot more lenient. Where would this be relevant? Relevant is kumleib derab mine issues, violating two isurim. Which one do you get? What are some other nafkaminas? Here's one. Here's how it relates to our discussion. From the poskim, it sounds like that her shivchaness is a source, lakula, leniency. Why? Where do I see that in the psukim? Lo yomusu, where did this go? I just lost it over here. Lo yomusu kilo chuposa. However, you won't be killed for what you did because she wasn't free. Lo yumsu kilo chuposa. Kilo chuposa. Because she wasn't free. You won't be killed because she wasn't free. Rashi reads it like that. Rashi reads it strictly like that. Rashi says, which pasuk is that I'm reading from? I'm reading from pasuk chaf. Rashi says, We're in the wrong parsha here. Vayikra Yotes Pasuk Chaf. Rashi Yotes Pasuk Chaf Ki lo chuposa v'ein kiddushin kiddushin kumorin. And this kiddushin is not a real kiddushin. Ibn Ezra and the Sforno. Do we have a Mikras Gedolos here? Tell me if you have Vayikra. I think so. You can see it. Thank you. 4 no. Okay, on one hand he says, Mikol makom notan ktsas tam ledavar. Here, sorry, Sforno begins back over. Sforno says, Minagdin lechonas teva mechon kebe. Amnam alinyan shiv chrufa. Imeyoso chok shu haisa loka vahu loaya loka vashu habayis hevi korban ala mazid. Vishte elu lo yakru bechol shem instrumentar. Mikol makom notan ktsas tam ledavar. Amr ki lo chupsha. Meaning, ha chait neka bezez. More lenient. Shalo tafsu kedushe. That's like Rashi. Hama'ares ve'ikra chait ena ela. Meaning she's not like a real married woman. It's coming to be more lenient. But look what he adds. I mean, hear what he adds. Ikar hachait eno ela shechilel et kodesh Hashem lekarev el chetzi shivcha. Eno ela shechilel et kodesh Hashem ubiyot ha'poel hazeh neged kavod ha'ish. Ha'poel lo neged kavod ha'ish ha'mitpa'elet. Ein savik shihar gila verusa ha'isel lukos. What he's saying is, what you've done is b'mechala the kedushas Hashem. That's why there's an isser over here. Because this line is obviously being more lenient, so it's not about you slept with someone inappropriate. It's not so much about the act of erva like you have in general, but it's more about a chil Hashem act. You've taken someone who had a side to them that was a shivcha, and you slept with them. They were destined. They were supposed to be to somebody else in their own status, and you slept with them in that side. That's the chil Hashem that he's speaking of over here.
Not that someone who had a side to her that she was a shivcha.
What?
A side to her that she was charufa. No.
He says yes. We also no. That's in the chil Hashem. It's shechila kiddush Hashem lekarev el chetzi shivcha. Ah, okay, good. What you're doing is a maisa that's more befitting the shivcha side as opposed to the free side. So Sforno's understanding the chetzi case. Ibn Ezra, I'm not going to read inside. Ibn Ezra's fabulous. Ibn Ezra says, no, this is more a gzela issue. It's stealing someone's property. He looks at her like a property. The shivcha charuf is property. Once she's indentured, once she's working for someone, she's property. It's stealing someone's property. That goes away from there. More almost the pseudo me'ila thing, but less even asha. Well, that's even awesome. That's Ibn Ezra's room.
Korban
Chatas almost. Takes you Korban Chatas, Ibn Ezra's room.
Which makes sense why the Pasuk says, has all this lashon of Chataso.
Oh, yeah. Lieutenant Shema Chataso, Shechav, Nilsla, Bechatas, Rechata. It says, Vehaviat, Ashram, Vehaviat Ashmo, El Pesach Ol Moed, El Pesach Ol Moed, Ve'el Ashram. Yeah. Okay. Then you have the Nazir Shenitma. Nazir Shenitma, I think, is fabulous because look at Nazir Shenitma, Perek Vav Pasuk Hey. Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Tes. You can go anywhere. Go Pasuk Tes. I didn't give you a test. V'chi Yamus, Meis Alav, V'pesa Pisam. V'time Rosh Nizro. What'd you make Tame? The Rosh of the Nizro. It keeps using this Lashon. The Torah uses it over and over. Look at Pasuk Tes. You made Tame the hair of the Nazir. When the Nazir becomes Tame, it's his hair that's becoming Tame. It's Tame, Tame, Tame. Back to hair 6. You looked at number Yud Aleph, Fasako, and Echel, Echel, Olav, V'chiper Lav. And he'll sanctify his head on that day. Meaning this thing for the Rosh of the Nazir, the hair of the Nazir, meaning there was this Kedusha Se'ar. What status has been changed, it was this holiness in the hair, and you've removed that. You've removed that. The Ramban uses a lashon of it's in Bamidbar, Ramban Perikhei Halacha Yud Zayin. Rambam says Bishenitma upiresh v'chazer v'nogu nosoil aval imaya nogia b'meis. If he was touching a dead body, page 5. Ab you call a nogia, even though he's touching it again. It's talking about a nazir who keeps touching a dead body. Shaharei mechulal v'omed. He doesn't become retame because he's already mechulal v'omed. You see that an undoing of nazir is called chilul. Rambam uses the lashon of a chilul kedusha. This kedushas rosh, this hair, this kedushas seyar that was there, this hair, this head, and you've totally devalued it. Rambam uses the word mechulal. It's straight out there. It's not even a forced pshat. You understand why the korban asham should apply over here. What about a mitzora that wants to become tahor? What about a mitzora? How does that fit into our whole theory over here? So the Gemara in Shavuos 8a Chesam et Aleph says Yom Kippur poter mechiyav korbanos sheyesh behem eze kula. Yom Kippur is going to exempt you from the obligation of korbanos that have some type of lenient side to it. What does that mean? Lenient side is subject to debate. But any korban that has a more lighter side to the korban, not as serious, Yom Kippur will take care of you. So the Gemara asks, Im Kain, Lama Yom Kippur ain't a poter at the Metzora, Mechiev Chataso? Why then isn't the Metzora exempt from this Chatas? Because it's a huge Kula, it's an Ola V'yora, the fluctuating price korban. Why? That's a huge leniency. Why shouldn't he be exempt on Yom Kippur from that? So the Gemara answers, Sheyom HaKippur Mechaper Rak L'chol Chatasam. Only as the Torah says in Perek Tzayin of Yikra, for all the sins, L'chol Chatasam. Avalo L'chol Tumasam. But not for all your Tumah. Only for all your sins, it says. L'chaper L'chol Tumah Chatasam. And Tzaras is an inyan of Tumah and not Chet. So the Gemara asks, but wait a second, according to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, who says that Nagaim, different types of skin afflictions, come for seven sins, according to him, Tzaras is also included in Kol Chatasam. So the Gemara says, Im Kein, Yom Kippur Ayat Tzarech Lechaper Uliftor Et Metzora Mechatasam. So what does the Gemara answer? Even according to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Lo Ba Chas Lechaper Alveir Shigar Et Tzaras, Elihi Ba Lishta Rui Vakal. Great line. The korban asham being brought by the one who has tzaras is not being brought to be mechaper for the avera that caused the tzaras. Rather, it's coming to allow him back into the community. Meaning he's done something to ruin his status in the community. He's done something to ruin his place. He needs to bring an asham to allow him to make up for that pagam in his Kedushas Yisrael. He's removed himself from the Kahal. He's got himself in trouble, and that's why he's on the outs right now. He's got to stay out from everybody. That's what you see straight, it seems to me, from the Gemara. You see from the Gemara. You know further, by the way, that this is an issue of Hekdish, of holiness, is look at the process of the Kohanim by the Yemei Miluim. It's in Shmos Perek Kaf Tes. Look at the whole Perek. The Yemei Miluim process of the Kohanim, the inaugural process. Look at the process. It matches everything the Metzora does. It's with the hyssop and everything, with the Yezov and all that. It's the same exact process. With the bohen, the sprinkling with the bohen, with the thumb and everything, and the earlobe. Why is it all the same? So you see, the process that the Metzora goes through is there to rectify a Kedusha status, which is exactly what the Kohanim had to take on into that area. Okay, exactly what they had to do. 3 minutes. We can keep going. Now, I want to sharpen this a little bit further, go a little further with this. If you look at the other korbanos, the act of the avoda itself, the service, is what helps it achieve its purpose. Hashem is watching for a certain process. Hashem is looking, let's see the process. How's the process going to be? By the chatas, it's a very elaborate sprinkling process. By the ola, are you going to burn it properly? All of it is there's a specific part of the avoda, without which that's the focus. The focus is the avoda itself. That's all these gemaras and svachim we've been looking at are all very much avoda focused. The avoda. By korban asham, it seems to me, and I may be wrong, by korban asham, it seems to me, it's more the bringing of the korban asham, which is the tikkun itself, more than the process. Doesn't mean the korban asham doesn't have an avoda process. It does. But the avoda process is less relevant than the bringing of the korban asham itself. If you take this thesis to be true, this would explain why the korban asham has no unique feature in its avoda. Because the avoda is secondary to the havasa korban itself, to the bringing of the korban itself. Take an ola, for example, right? Take an ola, starting from the very first parak of Vayikra and going forward, you have this elaborate process, and it says it's brought el Pesach o el Moed lifnei Hashem. The korban is brought to the Pesach o el Moed lifnei Hashem. There's a process. It's not going directly la Hashem. It's el Pesach o el Moed. It's being brought somewhere. There's a stage. There's a linear progression over here of how an ola is brought. Okay, look by a shlamim. Shlamim, if you look in Perek Gimel of Vayikra, Psukim Aleph, Zion, and Yigimel, there's also the shlamim lifnei Hashem. It's brought before Hashem, meaning there's a process. It's lifnei Hashem, and the shlamim has a very elaborate tahalicha process. If you look at the psukim, very elaborate process how the shlamim. We talked a little bit about the cakes and how the shlamim is brought exactly. Chatas, you can look in Vayikra, Perek Dalet, you can see there the process of the chatas. Asham, on the other hand, it's not lifnei Hashem. It's Asham la Hashem. It's not Lifnei Hashem. You might catch a Lifnei somewhere there, I'm convinced. There's a Lifnei somewhere. But look, you'll see Asham is primarily LaHashem. The Lifnei means it's going through a process. I'm going to bring it before Hashem. There's an Avodah here that's brought before Hashem. When I take a korban and it's LaHashem, it's direct. It means the Avodah is secondary. It's LaHashem. If you look at Perek Hey, Pasuk Tesvav, page 4 has Perek Hey, but I might have cut you short by one pasuk. Perek Hey. What?
I'm sorry.
Perek Hey, Pasuk Tesvav. Vehevi Isha Te Ishto, Vehevi et Korbanol, Levishudev, Kemach Zerim, Lo. Tell me one second. Maybe Vayikra Hey, I meant. Vayikra Hey. Do I have that in the packet, by the way?
No.
Okay, Vayikra Hey, Pasuk. By the way, that's where a lot of the Asham stuff is. Right, the Asham is straight. That's the first source of Asham. Perek Tes Zion. By Tesva. Vayidaber Shomosh Lemor, Nefesh Kimal Vachata Bishkoga, Mekotche Hashem, Vehevi et Ashamo. LaHashem, you bring, that's the Asham Me'ila. The Asham is brought by Hashem. There's no discussion of the Maisa HaKrava. Look for of the discussion of how you bring the Korban Asham. Maybe I missed it, but I could not find the process of how you bring the Korban Asham. Flip through it. There's no story of how you do it.
Even in Vayikra?
What?
Even in Vayikra? First time it's brought? No, in Parshas Vayikra.
Where's the Asham there? The Asham, Ola, Minchas Chavitim, the Shlomim, the Chatas. No, your first Asham is further in. Seir Lachatas, the Chatas, Shavuos Abitoy. No, the first one is Perikei, Asham. There's no Avoda here. There's no Avoda. It's fascinating. This Mamish, I gotta be wrong. There's gotta be an Avoda somewhere. This Mamish, no Avoda here. The Avoda is secondary to what's going on. There's no real relationship to the Maisa HaKrava. By the other three, you have the Lashon of La'asos, to do. La'asos, not by Asham. I looked at, I found by Perek Tes Pasuk Zayin. I mean, it's wild. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, Karev et Mizbeach, Va'aseh et HaChataschav, Olah Secha, V'chaper Adcha Ba'adam, Va'aseh et HaKorban Ha'am, V'chiper Ba'adam, Kasher Tziva Hashem. You have all this Aseh. This is all this Aseh. There's 15 assays over there, Lassos. You don't have one of those by an Asham. You don't have any of those by an Asham. Another issue by an Asham is the role of the value by an Asham. We'll have to do this out so we don't have time. The value by an Asham is that it's got to be worth at least Beis Saloyim. There's a minimum value by an Asham, which you don't have by the other Korbanos, unless it's a special ceremonial Korbanos. But the Stam Korbanos don't have a bottom line value to it. The Asham must be Beis Saloyim. It's as though there's a penalty fee for your being mechal kedusha. You're desecrating kedusha has a knas, has a fine. There is a penalty fee, which and therefore that's the reason for the therefore the what's called the asham.
Why does that fit more for being mechal kedusha than for?
I don't know why.
Avera,
I don't know why. I'm just saying, but it's unique to asham. I said there's nothing unique to asham. That's unique to asham. You're mechal kedusha. Torah wants you to pay a price. So you bring back that gravity in your head. It's an awareness, Kedusha. You need something that's going to reorient you to that awareness. Money will get you reoriented that you did something wrong here. You're paying a steep price over here more than the other stuff. I'll read you one Medrash, by the Medrash HaGadol says, Shiyehei hefresh mos b'tchila l'shem asham. There's a special obligation to be mafresh the money ahead of time. And asham many times comes from the word tashlum. It's the same etymological source, says Rav Shamuel Hirsch, of a payment. You got to pay back what you've done over here. You've made a big catastrophe over here. You got to pay back what you do. And you see by the psukim, by the plishtim, that's what it's like. They want to pay back what they've done. And they don't know how to pay back the value of taking an aron, and the asham is their price. Because that's valuable to them. But they realize it's something very expensive. And there's a value to it. There's a value to desecrating Kedusha. Okay, let's stop there. I think we had enough for Korban Asham. I will put on the blog a couple more ideas that we didn't cover Asham, just so you round out a full knowledge of Asham. And really, there's nothing more to say about it that I have.